probably the set for this one, so I'm ready to be scrutinised. Okay, so transport and non-transport policy. Now, obviously, most of the trips that we make are to do something, so thinking about non-transport policy more is something which generally will be helpful to the way we think about transport systems. But the non-transport sector is also a huge provider of transport. So if you look at healthcare, social care, school travel, they actually provide an awful lot of transport. They may not want to, but they have to. So that's also an opportunity for us to think about integrating different forms of service provision. Now, for me, rather than talking about silos and policy silos and how difficult they are, I think we need to think about outcomes. We need to start with the consideration of the outcomes. So things like clinical excellence, top quality schools, customer satisfaction, environmental obligations. These are the things where we can develop a common vocabulary to work across different sectors. Talking about transport and health doesn't necessarily cut the mustard. It doesn't open the discussion. It doesn't allow us to think about new types of things. There's a saying which is, give me the wisdom to change what I can, recognise what I cannot, and to know the difference between the two. And I think we need to stop talking about the difficulties of silos and start finding the points of intervention in these policy silos. And let's not forget that we have silos even within transport organisations themselves. So we just have to find ways of working through. Now, I think we've typically compounded the problems of silos in transport by looking at things like workplace travel planning and school travel planning and hospitals in isolation. People who are engaged in living their lives move through multiple points of interaction. It's not to say that these things are bad initiatives, but if you look at somebody who's involved in the care system, for example, they're probably likely to be interacting with several different service providers. So just focusing at one point of interaction is not necessarily going to unlock the opportunities that you might want to. Now, individualised travel marketing is a great thing, but that too is not necessarily the answer to these kinds of problems, because there are only so many bits of information that you can give people about what they should do if the service provision, the time, the location and so on, is not configured in a way which enables them to make more sustainable choices. So we have to find some kind of more nuanced, developed way of thinking about the system. So we need to maybe think about chains in the system, the social healthcare interface, and the school work interface and so on. Think about chains of activity. And there's an increased emphasis in other service sectors for personalised, tailored care pathways, for example. Well, that means thinking about a whole sequence of treatment. And it should also therefore be thinking about a whole sequence of points of intervention in the transport system and leads to other opportunities. But I think if we start talking about joining up transport and health, and health and social care, we unlock a whole load of very difficult issues to do with data sharing, trust, and putting together health information and transport information and the information about vulnerable school travellers, for example. We could create some very difficult things. So there's definitely a piece of work to be done on innovation in terms of trust and data sharing. So the three things that I came up with, the three ideas for thinking this through and the way in which the catapult might start to intervene in the system. The first one is to think about these chains of activities between the different providers, or maybe it's the way the individual interacts with all these different service providers and how that relates to the transport needs that it generates. Can we rethink ways of configuring that chain of interaction with those providers in ways which generate more sustainable options? Perhaps we could look at it from the point of view of we've got all these service providers who provide transport but don't really want to. That's not their raison d'etre. They want to do, providing healthcare. They don't want to provide transport. So is there room for the intelligent broker who is actually managing the needs of these various different parts of the system and joining them up so that we actually have a more effective delivery of mobility solutions to the services that are there? And then I think the third option is a more intelligent planning set of tools. So not just thinking about can we please put hospitals in the right place, But accepting that the health sector, for example, finds it very difficult to know what its service configuration is going to look like in 10 or 15 years' time. So it makes some assumptions about physical buildings, but actually as medical technologies change, the way they rethink their service provision might change. So it may go from centralised to regional or to small local. But what tools have they got available for them to think through how changes to their service provision would actually impact on mobility patterns and perhaps on interactions with other service sectors? So those are three ideas that I have, but then there's numbers 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or however many, which are the ones that you're going to provide in the next 7 or 8 minutes, and I'm not putting any pressure on you, but there's two boards now of ideas, great ideas that came from earlier. So there are no right and wrong answers. It's now just your chance to say, I thought that was rubbish, here's a great new idea, or whatever you want to say. So, floor's open.